This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of this service will be given at the close of the program. Are there changes in your life that you would like to see happen? How badly do you want these changes to occur? Just a little bit or drastically? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, it is my prayer this day that you will anoint my lips and that you will open hearts, that your word may flow freely and clearly into the hearts and heads of those who listen. Then come, Holy Spirit, and make these divine teachings dynamic truths that make us the sons and daughters growing in the faith, sons and daughters of the King. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 7th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, beginning with the 14th verse. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. I am sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but what I hate I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law that's at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak.
Friends in Christ, our study of the Beatitudes is extremely helpful for me. I pray that it is for you too. When I stop and consider the setting of the Beatitudes, I realize that Jesus felt that it was very necessary for a preacher to know who is in his congregation. He makes it very clear that his congregation is made up of people with an abundance of problems, and not all of them are exactly the same. How easy it is for a minister to feel, generally speaking, we're all the same who come here on a Sunday morning. It's the same crowd. I'm very grateful that they're here. But what we need is faithfulness on the part of our members when it comes to attendance. But it's the same old crowd and the same old problem, and that is not true. It is also not true for me as I stand as a radio pastor. I could say, it's the same faithful who listen, who turn in every week, send us their gifts and promise us their prayers, and there are none different. I realize that that is not true. For today, I am sure that there is a person who will turn on that radio and listen at least in part to this program who have never listened to Christian Crusaders before. So there are probably different problems that face me at the microphone today than what there was a week ago. And so it is also true in our churches. My life and its joys and sorrows are quite different from what they were 10 years ago. And so are yours. Your family is different. New children might have come. Older people might have died. Your health is different. 10 years makes a great deal of difference when you get to a certain age on how you feel. Maybe your financial income is different. It might be greater, it might be less. The whole thing is, we have to ask the question, where are we today? And as Jesus was preaching this Sermon on the Mount, I'm sure that he was thinking, look at this mass of people out here. What are their problems? And so as we have come to the fourth Beatitude today, in the first three, we learned that there were some out there who were very, very depressed. And so he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And then he tells us why, and we went over that. Then he said, blessed are those who mourn. There might have been a husband and a wife who were standing right in front of him, and they were kind of wiping tears away because they had just buried a child. Blessed are those who are meek. A person who was way off in the periphery, he was not like his brother, who could push himself and was a dynamic extrovert. He was what they called the meek one in the family. And somehow he had equated meekness with weakness. And God is saying, you're blessed. Because while you do not have strength in your own, I can give you strength and make you a powerful person in the kingdom of God. Well, if you don't feel you fit into any one of those three, today could very well be your turn. For here is the beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Some have called that the most demanding, the most challenging of the Beatitudes. It means that there is a great desire in our hearts that things might be righted that are wrong, that there is something in my relationship with God that is really wrong, and I'm crying out that I may be filled with righteousness and that that which is wrong may really disappear. For example, I want to be very specific today so that we do not deal in the abstract. What are some of the things that could be wrong, even in the life of a person who knows Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and lives in a personal relationship with Him? Well, I can think of a couple. Not hard to think of either. There's temper. Oh, you're able to keep it under control pretty well, but nevertheless, it is there. It is often related to impatience. And all of a sudden, you can bounce out with a bellowing cry that is not pleasing to Almighty God. There is, for example, a possibility that you and I are carrying ill will towards another person. Now let's go back to Jesus' day, and he's standing there on the mount, and there are people in that crowd, and Jesus knows they're there, who are having this attitude. I can't stand that person. I can't tolerate being around him. Why is he out here anyway? That could be an attitude. There can be an attitude in the same way in our setting. It's possible that we could be in a large crowd, and suddenly your eyes focuses on a person who has recently gotten out of prison. He was put in prison for a few years, but less than 10 years ago, he was sent to prison because he drove a car drunk. And it just so happened that while he was driving drunk, he hit a loved one of yours and killed her. You've never been able to get over it. You just say, there's something inside of me, I don't think that it's right that that man got off so easily. Maybe not. But that's the attitude you're carrying. That's what we're concerned about today. And maybe it's you come to church, and there you see your ex. He or she was a spouse who left you to raise children, and still he or she demanded their visitation rights. And you say, if that guy could only get lost, or I don't want to see that woman with her new husband. What do we do? Here is what the Beatitude is about. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. A desire to be rid of those things which are contrary to the will of God. An attitude that says, I know these things are wrong. And I'll always believe that that was a terrible thing that that man did or that woman did to me. But I can't live this way any longer. I've got to have a change. Jesus is saying to the crowd then and now, blessed are you who have been forgiven of your sins through faith in me. But blessed are you when you say, I not only want my sin forgiven, I want that attitude drastically changed. That's the beatitude. You notice it says that blessed are those who thirst for righteousness. That word thirst, or that word hunger perhaps more, it means a little bit more to many of us today than it did to those who lived when Jesus walked. When those people talked about being hungry, when they had talked about a tremendous appetite, they dreamt of just getting enough food to get by the next day. I don't ever experience that type of hunger. From the time I was a wee little boy and we went through the Depression and we went through tough times, there was never a day that I went to bed hungry. What about you? So when Jesus says, "Blessed are they who hunger," the crowd suddenly could look up and say, "I know what that is." Now, he was talking at this particular time of a spiritual hunger. The only hunger that I can acquaint this with are some dishes that I like and that I'm not apt to get very often. My wife loves liver and onions. If we get into a restaurant and she reads a menu and it says liver and onions, I tell you, she just goes wild. That's what she's going to have. I have an entirely different appetite. I love to go back to my home setting. And when I am there off the rocky coast of Maine, I love to go to a particular restaurant out of what we used to call Two Lights. And out there, they have the best fried clams I have tasted since my mother made them for me. Fried clams. I mean the real fried clams, not like we get in Iowa. We get tremendous filet mignon here. But you can't get the real fried clams. You get something they call strips. And now this is vulgar language, I guess, but in talking with a man who was in the fishing business one time when I was back there, I said, "Why don't you send a whole clam to us?" And they said, "We can't freeze the belly." And that's where the taste is. Well, that hunger over fried clams or liver and onions, that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a hunger where you crave something that you have to have it or you're going to die. That's also applicable spiritually, that I have to die if I don't get fed. I'll die on the vine if I don't get rid of that temper. I'll die if I carry that hatred around with me for the rest of my life. And there are many people who are dead. They haven't even been forgiven. They don't know Christ because of these sins. But there are others of us who have been forgiven, and we still linger with them. Now, here you may ask the question, well, that's right. You've put your finger on it. God's Word has put His finger on it. But what do I do? How do I get over it? What is the solution, preacher? I give you the solution. It's a solution we have every day. Live with God Almighty in His Word. I don't mean just 5 minutes here and there, but really get serious about this whole matter and really ask, what do you have to say to me, God? Like one of my friends, when he got serious about his relationship with God, set aside an hour every morning. And did he ever get changed? The people don't really know him when they see him anymore. We live in this postmodern age. We say there are no such things as absolutes. Our culture is supposed to interpret the Word of God rather than the Word of God revealing the culture where it's wrong. I tell you, you live in that Word. You begin with your New Testament. Read through the Psalms. Get some helps. Buy a good commentary. and let God's word speak to you. And pretty soon you begin to see the change. Not only forgiveness, but change. 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 Let me get specific. At the present time, I am one among many who are tremendously frustrated at the present church, various denominations. We live in a day where it appears, from what I can hear and read, that the Word of God is no longer the inspired Word and the only authority in matters of faith and life. We hear people saying in leadership, we've got to interpret this word in the light of our culture. When the Word of God is no longer our authority, and I really mean our authority in all matters of faith and life, then we absolutely know where God wants us to be going and what to do. There is no question about some of these ethical teachings, and I refer to such things as same-sex marriages and the ordination of practicing homosexuals. And I love the person who says, I am a homosexual, but not the practicing of it. There is a difference. Read Romans 1. It's the simplest passage. When I see my church beginning to raise questions, maybe we ought to make this adjustment. That's going contrary to the Word of God. This angers me. Now, I think this is a right anger. There is a righteous anger. But where it is wrong for me is I move the anger over to the person who holds that view. And I can't live with that. I can say to him, my dear brother or sister in Christ Jesus, I love you. I'll help you. I'll work with you. I ask you to help me and work with me. But I do not believe, because you are going contrary to the Word of God, that that's right. Now, if that were just an individual problem for a person like Homer Larson, I wouldn't waste our time with this. But it isn't. It's all around us. So we have to pray, oh God, I hunger and thirst for righteousness. And righteousness is not to condone error, but righteousness is to love people regardless. Yes, we are among the blessed if Jesus Christ has atoned for our sins and we love him. We have been with the blessed if we have that longing to become more holy and more sanctified. It'll go on, and we'll always have those feelings of a hunger and thirst for a more Christ-like life. We'll fall, and we'll start again. And one day when we get to heaven, as the psalmist says, then we shall see him face to face and know what perfection is. Amen.
Life for a look at the same. glory and praise.
Father, we thank you for that redemption which is ours in Jesus Christ. Today, O God, we pray that we may hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we may cling to your word, and that we may turn our eyes upon Jesus, realizing that in him alone we have life everlasting, and in him alone we have a Savior who will take us by the hand and comfort us when we are depressed and help us when our hearts are broken and lead us in places of leadership with strength that he can provide and then give to us a heart's desire to overcome those sins which prevail in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We pray today's gospel message will comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to remember a loved one with a memorial gift. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on their birthday or another meaningful occasion. If you would like to make a donation in loving memory of someone, send it to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders broadcasts over 16 radio stations in 9 states, shortwave in Europe, and on the internet at christiancrusaders.org. We are grateful you chose to worship with us today and pray you will worship with us next Sunday on this station. Christian Crusaders is now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.